make announcements like when I fix the mail. But I'm not being a stuck-up, rude individual these days. I am a little bit under the weather, and so I don't want to shake nobody's hand. And if I got God on me, I'd like to shake your hand and maybe that jump off on you. I don't think I'm contagious. My wife would beg to differ. She's been addicted to me for years, so. That was a joke. You're supposed to laugh when I tell jokes. I've got to tell the joke and do my own laughing. We're going to be here all day long, all right? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, God bless you. But Luke 15 of Brad, Texas morning, I want to say it's been my honor to be here. The fellowship. I love you, Pastor. You people. I love meeting new friends. I really do. And I love people that love Jesus.
Amen.
That wasn't mine. Now would be a good time to check your cell phone and see if it's on site.
That's right.
And but I love people that love the Lord, don't you?
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
But I really love people that love me.
Yes, sir.
I have no problem loving you if you love me. If you don't love me, God will have to give me grace to pray for you. Amen. Now, I wanted to say something that I'm going to bring the message, and I don't want you to ever forget what I'm fixing to say. The subject of salvation. I appreciate everything the brother said this morning.
Amen.
And I agreed with it. And I'm just going to tell you something. If we're not careful, we'll make that subject so confusing.
Yeah, that's right.
We spend most of our time preaching to the brethren to straighten them out on the doctrine. And we don't preach straight to the sinner, the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Keep it as simple as God made it. When I pray, now some of you might not like this, and I don't want to be rude about it, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, don't bother me a bit if you disagree. When I prayed and asked the Lord to save me, I asked him in every bit of the light that I had at that time.
Yes.
And the light that I had was he was a savior.
Yes.
I was a sinner.
That's right.
The light that I had was the still small voice of God had spoken to me and showed me that I was lost.
Amen. Glory to God.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, and the night he showed me I was lost, I got saved.
That's right.
I hear some people, well, I was under conviction 20 years. Thank God I wasn't.
Yes. Amen.
I'm just as saved as anybody else. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Come on now.
You're on it.
And, I got born again, and when I asked Jesus to save me, this is where you might fall out with me, but I want to clear it there. I asked him in the light that I had.
Yes.
The light I had, Jesus saves. I was a sinner.
Yes.
The light I had, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's, right.
That's the light I had. Nobody run me down the Romans road or the Ephesians bypass. The light I had was John 3:16. Can you get any simpler than that? Brother, if you've got to be educated to get saved, you're going to hell without God.
Amen.
If you've got to be rich to get saved, we'd all go to hell without God.
Yes,
all you've got to do is get good and lost.
That's right.
And you can be saved.
That's right.
Now here's the part I prayed you might not like. I said, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't lead people in repeated prayers. This is what I prayed. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. I'm a hypocrite. I've told people I'm lost. I'm saved. Lord, I've been baptized. I joined the church. I am not saved. And I asked him, would you please forgive me and come in my heart? That was the light that I had. I've got some friends that if I was to sit down right now, they'd rebuke the fire out of me for asking Jesus to come in my heart.
Yeah, they would.
I'm going to have to go home and take half a baby aspirin. To get over what you think about me and my profession of Christ. I will be there when my name is called out.
Glory to God, brother.
We have confused it. When preachers go to criticizing somebody's prayer.
Yes.
If we're not careful, Pastor John, what we'll do is we'll create a congregation of people that get their assurance from us instead of the Word of God.
God forbid.
That ain't right.
God
ain't never been right.
God forbid.
I don't care if 10 of your favorite preachers was to walk in here right now and say, John Morgan, we believe you're lost and we've been praying God to save you. I preached my message going down to, where are we going? To Skanks, Skags, what's the name of that place? Sprags. Skanks. Scabs. Yeah, so don't confuse it. Here, the gospel in a nutshell. We're sinners. God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for me and you. And if we'll repent and believe the gospel, we can and will be born again on the authority of the word of God. Now, as a soul winner, where do I draw the line? How do I know? Because somebody made the statement, you don't have a conviction meter on you, do you? Well, yeah, right here. Amen. If you're saved, God will lead you. God will speak to you.
That's right.
And sometimes God will have us give a track out, tell them Jesus loves them. Other times God will tell us, hey, sit down and preach to them right here, right now. Give them the gospel. Ladies, give the gospel out. You don't have to be a preacher to give the gospel out.
Right.
Right. There's no disqualifications when it comes. There's disqualifications to pastoring, disqualifications to teaching, disqualifications to a lot of things, but there is no disqualification when it comes to prayer. You repent and get right with God, you can pray.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And there's no disqualification for getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out.
Come on.
Get it out. Get it out. Get it out. Saturate this town. And God will honor it. Amen. I cannot take. Somebody said they've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. I have. I took a picture of it. It's on one of my old phones. It was funny, but we was at Roscoe's where I lived, and a hearse pulled up with a U-Haul behind it, and we was all out there taking pictures of it. Amen. So I cannot say that I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul behind it, because I have. But you take everything you've got up to the grave. You could take every possession you've got. You could get buried with your money. I've seen them bury people with their liquor, bury people. I seen a video clip the other day. They was pouring marijuana in a grave, giving him something to smoke in eternity. The only smoking that guy's going to do is what he's burning in hell.
That's right, amen.
Amen. Serious thing. So don't be confused about salvation. Amen. Don't make the mistake of complicating.
Yeah, amen.
He said the simplicity of Christ.
Yeah, that's it.
A little child. Mm-hmm. The gospel was designed that a little child could understand it.
That's right.
Matter of fact, he said, except you become as this little child.
Mm-hmm.
Humble yourself. You're not going to be converted. Pride sent a lot of people to hell.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Arrogancy, cockiness, too full of pride. Well, then we get in certain groups of people. Well, and I've been there. They want to announce to everybody, well, God revealed to me I'm lost. Well, if God revealed to you you're lost, you can be saved.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Well, I just kind of felt like Lord say that. Amen.
That's good.
That's the evangel. That's King James Bible rightly divided. Let's stand in reverence to the reading. And by the way, our preaching and our teaching on the subject should never bring doubt. I said this in a meeting in North Carolina, and I'm confident that may have been somebody scratching their head, but God don't use doubt. God uses truth.
That's right.
And when God speaks to a sinner, hear me and hear me well, he will give them assurance of their damnation. There's no doubt about it. You're going to hell and you'll know it. Mm-hmm. And when God speaks to those of us that are saved, he'll give us assurance of our salvation. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Don't confuse it. They're making statements like, well, if you're doubting your salvation, then that must be the Holy Spirit speaking to you about you being lost. Absolutely not. I can show you where he uses lie. I can show you where he uses truth.
That's right.
I can show you where he uses reality. Just kind of felt like I need to say all this morning.
Well, amen.
Simply put, Jesus saves sinners.
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that's the case?
Yes, sir.
I mean, for real. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to ask a question. Is everybody okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Okay, good. Let me bring the message God's put on my heart. It is 10:37. And I'm going to tell you, just like Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband right before she married him, I'm not planning on keeping you long this morning. That's funny. Now, my wife and two of my children here today, they've heard that 4,100 million times. And they don't even laugh at it anymore. That's okay. That's okay. Maybe I need to learn a new joke. My wife did tell me one time, said, if you just preach and quit all this comedian stuff, ain't no telling what God will do. She told me I was a better preacher than I was a comedian. Amen. Thank you for the compliment, Sister Morgan.
Amen.
Amen. Don't get mad at her for saying it. I needed to hear it. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. If you won't get in on worship, something's wrong. Would not go in. His brother came home. They're worshiping, rejoicing, and he ain't going in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou was killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Father, I love you. I bless you. I thank you for Pastor John, these precious people here at this church. I thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the good singing, the good liberty to preach, Lord, even this morning, Lord, the witness of truth about salvation. Thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that you'd help me to overcome my flesh this morning. You know my weaknesses, my frailties. You know my feebleness, Lord. And I pray that you'd give me grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. We got a problem. I'm going to take it for granted that you know the story of Luke 15. We got a younger brother that is left out, got his living from his daddy. I can't believe that his dad agreed to give him his living. I mean, my children come to me and say, you give me what I got coming to me, I'm probably going to get a belt out and just go ahead and you got it coming to you, all right? But he goes to the world. He sends away his living, sends away his health, living a wicked, vile life, comes to himself, comes home. And when he gets home, that elder brother gets upset. He makes a statement in verse number 29. He's right about everything he says. He said, lo, I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlot, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Our father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he owns the hills that the cattle are on. And this guy listens to his father, and his father makes this statement, all that I have is thine. I tell that to my children sometimes. Everything I got's yours, just when you get done with it, please put it back where you found it. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And this guy has got his eyes on a calf. You gave my brother a calf. You ain't even gave me a kid. You ain't never gave me a calf. And by the way, thank God for those children that stayed.
Amen.
You can say what you want to about your other elder brother. He never went to the world. And I bless the holy name of God for that. And he's got tunnel vision. And he's got the whole farm. He's got his father. He's got this family. And he gets his eyes on the calf. I want to preach on this simple subject this morning. Don't trade the farm for a calf.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Why would you want to take everything you got? Your inheritance, your family, your health, your mind, and trade it for one cow.
Yeah.
He got full of envy. He got full of jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
He got full of pride. And now he's got tunnel vision. And instead of looking at the big picture, he's just looking at one calf.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that have stayed and have not went to the world, there are going to be times in your life when you get close to trading the farm
mm-hmm.
for one cow. It ain't never worth it. Let me give you the thoughts. If he would have traded the farm for a cow, let's study the life that he would have lived. Let's compare what he's got at home versus what that younger brother has lost in the world. He would have wasted his life. It would have been wasted. It would have, he would have sold out for a calf. And in his latter days, brother, he would have regretted it. It would have been a wasted life. I'll never forget my papa was a if I would have preached his funeral 10 years prior to him dying, I would have preached him probably into hell. My papa had a heart attack. My mama died. He was forced to retire. Papa did not go to church and make some kind of public announcement that I got right with God. He just did it.
Amen.
As far as I know, he didn't testify in his latter years. He'd come to me and he'd say, "You got any of them papers with the Word of God on it?" I said, "You mean them tracts?" He said, "Yes." I said, "How many you want?" He said, "Give me a bunch. I'm going down to 7th Avenue and I'm going to pass them out."
Amen.
And that's the rough side of the tracks, just so you'll know. My papa, he had fruit. One day in his brokenness, my brother was leaned over. Or my papa leaned over a truck that my brother was working on and he began to cry. And he looked at Matthew and he said, "Son, don't waste your life like I have. I've thrown it away. I've wasted it. And I'm going to stand before God with a wasted life." If this guy would have traded the farm for a calf, he'd have wasted it. How long do you think one calf would have lasted? I mean, you're going to run out of ribeye sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to run out of hamburger meat sooner or later. It'll only feed you for so long, and then now, oh my, what was I thinking? It would have been a wasted life. Don't waste your life. Everything he wasted, this younger brother, was given to him. He was, it was his birthright. Don't waste this gift of God. Don't waste the grace that God gives you. It would have been a wasted life. Don't waste your mind. Don't waste your heart. Don't waste your health. I'm confident there's people in this building who lived in some grotesque sin before you got saved. All that time you wasted.
Yes, sir.
Selfish, self-centered.
That's
her. Wicked. It would have been you wasted days and wasted months and wasted years. But you could have been serving Jesus. I've been on both sides of the tracks, and may I confess to you this morning that this side is the best life I've ever lived.
Amen.
Thank God. I mean, somebody told me, I told him, "I'm going to shake your hand this morning." I said, "I'm a little bit under the weather." And that dear brother looked at me and said, "Well, I've been to Canada. And up there when you're under the weather, you're hungover." I said, "Also, it won't be no hungover here, amen. I got a wife and two youngins. It would probably go crazy on me if I was to do something like that." Somebody say amen right there. And no. I don't miss that life at all. It would have been a wasted life. It would have been a wicked life, a godless life, riotous living. It would have been a wandering life, no direction. Well, that's what I love about being a child of God. God gives direction.
Amen. Yep.
If I could, for a brief moment, if you would go back to the first part of chapter number 15, he's talking about the lost sheep, and then the lost silver, then the lost son. It's lost, lost, lost. Man's lost condition. But that sheep wandering around the wilderness had no direction, had no protection, had no perfection, no growth whatsoever, just wandering in the wilderness. Then the shepherd comes along, takes his staff and breaks both his front legs, sets the bones, pours the anointing oil in. Why'd he do that? Well, he's got two broke legs. He can't run off anymore. So now anywhere he goes, he's got to be carried by the shepherd. There have been a few times God's had to chastise me. I'm not proud of that. But when he did, he poured in the anointing oil, put me on his shoulders, and took me everywhere I needed to go.
Amen.
That's a good fruit of salvation.
Amen.
Chastisement.
Yes, sir.
It would have been a wandering life. It would have been a wanting life. Envy. Empty. It would have been a wishful life. A life with no substance. If he would have traded the farm for a calf. Number two, this morning, notice the look that he had. His perspective of things was just way off. Now look, he had his eyes on his brother instead of the father. Verse number 29. And he answering said, lo, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. He had his eyes on his brother instead of the father. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, the joy and the peace that comes from just looking unto Jesus. He had his eyes on his brother instead of the father. He had his eyes on self. He said, I. Look at me. Look at me. He had his eyes on his own service these many years. Look how long I've been here, Dad. If it wasn't for me, this farm wouldn't be doing nothing. If it wasn't for me, we wouldn't be producing no cattle and chickens wouldn't be putting out no eggs. If it wasn't for me, look, I'd do it all. He was looking for verse 31, and he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. He was looking for a reward. Get this, that he already had.
Yeah, that's
good. All that I have is thine. He's looking for a reward that he already had. You're born again, you've got it all.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's good.
Like the guy that was poor all his life, saved up his money, wanted to go on a cruise, bought him a ticket. Got on the cruise, and toward the end of the cruise, the captain got to noticing that man had not been to any of the meals, any of the shows. He'd see him out on the deck every once in a while. And finally, he went to him and he said, sir, I've noticed something. I haven't seen you at any of the shows or any of the meals. And that man looked at him and said, well, captain, when I bought this ticket, all I had money for was the ticket. I didn't have money for the meals and money for the shows. And that captain said, may I see your ticket? Handed him the ticket, and the captain looked at him and said, sir, when you bought this ticket, you bought every meal, you bought every show, and you have took this trip and missed out.
Yes.
At least you got to go. But how many Baptists are missing out?
Amen.
He was looking for a reward he already had. He was looking for recognition. Nobody appreciates me. I need somebody to pat me on the back. You know, Pastor John, he's my dad. And I'm there every service. Well, come here, let me help you out. Need a little recognition. I have been in every atmosphere I think you can be in a Baptist church. And I have learned the hard way when I go somewheres and I go back for the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth trip, not to ask, where's so-and-so? So I went to a church one time and the song leader was gone. I said, where's your song leader at, brother? He said, well, he came to me and told me he needed more recognition. Said he needed a seat on the platform. Needed to be recognized more than he was being recognized. And I said, and I guess you gave him the recognition he needed, didn't you? He said, yes, I did. We recognized him at the back door.
Amen.
Yeah.
Recognition. Diotrephes is wicked. I was wanting to preach on the most dangerous member in our Baptist church. Amen. Diotrephes. Love it to have the preeminence in here. We've got a diotrephes. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Somebody recognize me. Amen. I'm well aware that if all our children and if all your wife ever hears is the negative and all your husband ever hears is the negative and the criticism and all you're going to do is point out the faults and you never walk up to one of your children, put your arm around them and say, you know what, I hate to use this term, but for lack of a better term, I'm proud of you. I fussed at you every time you did wrong. I've tried to correct you, but there's some things in your life you're right on.
Amen.
And I appreciate it. And I appreciate my children. Yeah. My wife being here with me today.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord. Turned 20 years old today.
Amen.
And been a blessing. All three of my children. I love them and I bless the Lord for them.
Amen.
But we don't pass out recognition chips. Here's your recognition for today. We don't pet everybody's ego. Anything, the egos need to be tore down. The pride needs to be pushed out.
Right.
He's looking for recognition. You couldn't see the big picture. You got the whole farm, man. Why you just want one cow? He had a listening problem. How did he know about his brother's past? He didn't go with it. Did he? No. He didn't go to the world. I got another sermon I preach sometimes on, you may be a good son, but you stink at being a brother. Stink. Never tried to win him while he's in the world. Never went to Dad and said, Dad, let me take some servants and some accountability and let me go see if I can find your son and my brother and let's get him back home and try to get him right.
Yeah.
Not one time.
That's
matter of fact, that older brother was glad when he was gone. I get the whole farm now. I ain't got to share nothing with him. Envy, jealousy amongst the brethren. Oh, my beloved friend. He's But he's got a listening problem. Some way, somehow, he's keeping up with the world's report.
Right.
Instead of the Father's report. He's plugged into his iPhone. Plugged into the worldly radio. Plugged into Hollywood. He's keeping up with what's going on in the world. I don't want to know what's going on. Unless I need to know, I don't want to know.
Right.
I don't want to hear all the juicy gossip. I don't want to hear what they've been doing. They're lost. They need Jesus.
Yep.
He's listening to the world's report instead of the Father's. I'd rather hear what's in the contents of this Bible than I would anything on planet Earth.
Amen. Amen.
He's listening to the flesh. He's listening to the devil. He's got a listening problem. He's got his ear tuned into the world. You got your ear. He knew all about the harlots. He knew all about the righteous and living. He knew all about the sin. So he had been keeping up with his brother. He would have lived a life of loss. I mean, he even at home, look at what he's missing out on. He's missing out on the wealth of his father. God's going to take care of us. I believe it all my heart, if there wasn't but one biscuit left on planet Earth, one biscuit, I believe that me and my family would at least get a crumb off of it. That's how much confidence I've got in God that He is going to take care of me.
Amen.
We worry and fret, don't we? He is missing out on the wealth of his father. He's missing out on the warmth of fellowship. Boy, it's good to fellowship, man. I've had the privilege to be around your pastor a little bit the last month and a half, 2 months or so, however long it was. I've enjoyed the fellowship, Timothy, with you and your dad. I enjoy the fellowship. I want to talk about the Bible, educate me. Let's fellowship. But this guy's missing out on us. He ain't got no fellowship. But then there's worship that comes from forgiveness. That prodigal came home, okay? And he knew that prodigal. This is a Jew boy that's down there in the hog pen breaking the law of God. Sinning against knowledge. Mm-hmm. Luke 14, 15, and 16. There is a message to the Jews in these three chapters.
Yeah.
That rich man in Luke 16, when Abraham called him son, it was capitalized.
That's right.
That rich man was a Jew.
That's right.
He died without God and went to hell. And we got the elder brother here. And that younger brother knew very well, if I go home, my daddy's got a Bible right to kill me. My daddy can stone me, hang me, decapitate me. When that boy got home, he exposed his neck to his daddy. And his daddy fell on his neck and kissed it. Real repentance is kiss me or kill me. I'm coming home. Real repentance. I do not care what you do to me. I'm coming home regardless. If I die, I'm coming home. It fires me up.
Amen.
When a sinner looks and says, you know, I've kicked up a lot of dust on my way out. I'm going to eat every bit of it on the way back in.
Amen.
Oh, I'm going to go to him and tell him how unworthy I am. I'm going to go to him and tell him how wrong I was.
Yes, sir.
And if my daddy so chooses to kill me, I'm still going home.
It's good.
Absalom. That's what his problem was. He never would get all the way back in. Old brother Larry Brown, I don't know if you know him, from out in Iowa, he preached a great message out of that one time. He preached on living in the suburbs of forgiveness. Not getting all the way back in. And this old prodigal said, you know what? I ain't gonna live in the suburbs. I'm going.
Amen.
And then he told his daddy, he said, Daddy, you know what? Make me a servant. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
You don't tell the father what to do with you.
Yeah, that's good.
That father said, get me a ring. Get me a robe. Get me some shoes. Now, I want you to glance at your Bible real fast. Have you read Luke 15 enough to know the context of this story? Have you heard it preached enough to know what's going on in here? Brother, would you show me what size that coat was? Would you show me what size that ring was? Would you show me what size the shoes were? You can't do it. Calvary, one size fits all, good neighbor.
Yeah.
Forgiveness, one size fits all. It ain't one batch of forgiveness for somebody over here that's different than what I got. It's all the same from the same God. Can I get a witness from the church house this morning? He's missing out on worship that comes from forgiveness. Say, get me a ring. That's his authority. Get me shoes. That takes care of the shame. Slaves and servants wore those, didn't wear shoes. They went barefoot. And that prodigal, by the way, may I just run a biblical rabbit for a brief moment? That prodigal sitting there thinking about the bread that his servants had, bread enough to spare. Now, he wasn't close enough to smell no bread. But I promise you, in his mind, he could remember how that bread smelled and the aroma of that bread. And you know what that is? That's the drawing power of God. Boy, I could smell that bread. I could taste it. Oh, and coming home and getting forgiveness. Missed out on worship that comes from forgiveness. But then he would have missed out on the welcome of the faithful. The servants. The father welcomed him home. The servants welcomed him home. Everybody welcomed him home but one individual. And he'd have missed out on that. The welcome of the servants. Have you ever made this statement? I'm just going to say this. I just don't feel welcome here.
Come on.
You're in your place. You're in your church. You're in your home. And you make this statement. I just don't feel welcome.
Mm-hmm.
It's your fault, buddy.
That's right.
Don't blame it on your godly mom and your godly daddy. I know there's doctor fees and junk goes on in our Baptist churches, but you ought to feel welcome at home.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trade the farm for a calf. 4 little points and I'm done. And I mean quick. Don't trade the farm for a calf when it comes to your marriage. Don't throw your marriage away.
Come on.
Yeah. It's worth holding on to.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Amen.
You may have a lost husband. The Bible commands you to win him.
Amen.
With your chaste conversation.
Come on.
With your meek spirit, win your husband. I think you ought to be good to your husband regardless, but if he's lost, you ought to be so good to him, he could never deny how good you've been to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you got a lost wife, you ought to be so good to her that she could never testify and say, you know what, he ain't been good to me. Don't throw your marriage away. It's worth fighting for. It's worth praying over. It's worth pleading for.
That's right.
It's worth having a few scars and some bloody knuckles and a bloody nose. Our marriage, our wives, and your husbands. It's worth fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
Don't throw it away.
No.
We're living in a day when you could take a 40-year-old wife and go trade her in for 2 20-year-olds. Most people just don't even flinch at that anymore.
God forbid.
Don't throw the farm away. Trade the farm for a calf in your marriage. Don't trade the farm for a calf in your mind. I'd really like to know what kind of shape that prodigal's mind was when he was out there in the world. A mind is a terrible, terrible thing to waste. Don't waste your mind. Number three, don't trade the farm for a calf in your ministry. Don't throw it away.
Come on.
God counts you faithful, puts you in a ministry, stay in the ministry.
Amen. Rattle it. Amen.
Don't quit, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get out here and disqualify yourself and mess yourself up.
Yeah.
Don't trade the farm for a calf in your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Paul told Articus, see that he fulfilled the ministry?
That's right.
Finish.
Amen.
What we got is a reward waiting on the other side. Is so much better than what any kind of reward we could have down here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't trade the farm for a calf when it comes to your money. We shouldn't be money minded. We shouldn't be money motivated. Just so boy goes to the world and he throws his money away. He could have took that money and built him a nice house. Had a good place built for a wife. Throw it away. You ought to tithe. Give the missions. Give the special offerings. Tithe. Did I say tithe? You ought to tithe. It's the will of God to tithe.
Amen.
By the way, don't let me get by this without saying, if you don't take care of your pastor, God's not going to take
That's
care
right.
of you.
Amen. Amen. They do a good job, brother.
That's great. That's great. I'm glad they do. Give him a raise, kick his tires, buy him a new car, buy him a new suit, be good to the man of God.
Amen.
Amen. You don't take care of him, God ain't gonna. I ain't never seen a church skin flint the pastor and God bless him.
Uh-huh.
It ain't gonna happen.
Right.
You'll be good to God's man. But you be wise with your money. You be wise with it. You say, they didn't teach us things like that growing up. I never was taught, hey, save your money. If you save it up, you might have enough to pay for a vehicle when you turn 16. No, we just went down to the bank and borrowed the money. Debt, get the best of it.
Come on.
It will. You get married, you don't have to have, I may have mentioned this week, but you don't have to have a $3,000 couch.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go over here to rent a couch center and pay 40% interest. I got a friend of mine right now, his wife left him, went to the courthouse, and I'm against divorce, but it was one of the best things that could have ever happened to him. She left him, divorced him. I'm against divorce, okay? She wasn't going to get saved. She wasn't going to get right with God. Now, you talk about helping his attitude out, buddy. Did help. Did I balance that correctly enough? I'm against the divorce.
You're fine.
I'm fine, okay? Hear that, Mama? I'm fine.
Yeah.
Don't push. Your phone's ringing. And he said, yeah, I just went and made my last couch payment, John. I said, do what? He said, yeah, she missed one stinking payment and went like to 29% interest.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you need to go get tested for drugs, son. I understand you may have to borrow money for a car, borrow money for a house. I understand that. But couch? A refrigerator? A television? Come on, man. Fathers, we bow in your presence. I preached 5 minutes longer than I was planning on. God, I pray you'd move and bless and send great revival. Bless us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you need to come pray, seek the Lord's face.
Come on. I know we haven't had it.